we're just not going to talk about... Yeah, but I'm back. Anyway, so today I'm going to be a bit more vulnerable with you guys. I myself have always struggled with trust issues, and I think a big part of it is because of this specific situation. I've kind of hinted at it at different times throughout it, but yeah, interesting times. So we're just gonna hop right into it. This is the story time about my ex-best friend. We're gonna call her Angela. Now, like I said, I've hinted at this a lot, and I think a lot of us, like, as we grow up, we learn kind of who really is by our side and who isn't. And for me, this was very... Before this incident, I had always been very open to different people. I didn't really try to be closed off at all. I was very open and honest about who I was and what I was about. And I was trying to be friendly with everyone, and I really didn't try to shut myself off from different people. Now this really dimmed that, and it made me a lot more recluse about who I was going to have in my life and how I was, what process I was going to have. I didn't really, after this situation, it really made me step back and not want to open up to people. So nowadays, as a 25-year-old, I'm starting to realize that I feel rather lonely at certain times. Even though I know I have a very amazing support group, like, I've also come to realize, like, this situation has very much so something I'm still healing from and still learning how to reverse all of the damage that it did. But yeah. Anyway, so how I met... Angela was, we went to, so this is when I was back in Colorado. I grew up in Colorado. I stayed there up until I think it was just around 1920. And when I was there, I was very open, very honest with people. I was very unapologetically myself. So when it came to making friends, I was very open and friendly with everyone. Now, I met Angela and our other friend, we're going to call her Maria. It was me, Angela, and Maria. And so we all met in around middle school, sixth grade. And right off the bat, we hit it off. We were the trio. Now, I was the... trying to figure out how to give the best, like, breakdown of a trio, because, you know, I haven't really ever had to think about it in a while. Maria was the... both of the girls that I was best friends with, Maria and Angela, they... super smart in their own regard, had... super talented, above and beyond half of the things that any school was expecting of them. Maria, me and her really started to bond very early on because I just loved her drive. I loved her spirit, and she was so sweet and kind and soft-spoken, but she really knew what she wanted. So I absolutely adored her, and I had quite a few core classes with her starting off. So me and her got to know each other very well. Now, Angela was also really good friends with Maria too. So that's when we all just kind of started hanging out in our little triple group and in our little trio. And we would be hanging out all the time at school. We'd hang out at recess. We would chat about grades, we'd partner up if we were in the same class, so that's kind of where I met them. Now, Maria, she was very much into the violin. She was very artistic, extremely smart. She was the type of girl that if she got even just a few questions wrong, she would want to retake that quiz, like that level of smart. And I adored and was so fascinated by her mind. On the other hand, Angela was also super talented in her own right. She was very, very much into, like, computer science. She was really good at it. So was Maria. No, actually, I'm sorry. Maria was probably a bit more into computer science. Now, Angela was a lot more creative. Very, like, she, I believe, went to school for interior design. She had this wonderful, like, she was just such a business, like, she started making hats in middle school and selling them, right? So she was very, like, ready to run her own business, I mean, essentially, at the ripe age of, what, 11, 12, so she was also very intellectual and creative on her own, right? And she was also one of the top scorers in our class as well. So, that being said, I was hanging around those two types of people, and I absolutely adored them and admired not only their brains, but their minds and also their talents. They were just incredibly talented. Now, I was the one that, if you looked at our trio, I was the definitely the less, you know, not as intelligent. I was about an average student. I was in this, like, we had this thing called IB in our school, and so this was like an accelerated program, I think, and I was also in there, but that, I was like average, like, for that, very average student. Really didn't put in a lot of work. At this point in time, when I met them, I was more focused on getting to know people and, like, making friendships. I wasn't really focused on school, to be honest. I was also starting to get into martial arts. So I was the more, like, approachable one of the group, just because I was very much more so people-oriented rather than trying to hone any of my skills like these amazing girls were. So we had this dynamic for 6th and 7th grade, and during 8th grade, Maria, she completely vanished off of the face of the earth. Now, we knew that she really didn't have any, like, platform. It was very weird to see her in any sort of the, just at all, through any, like, pictures or anything. So, because that was her parents, they didn't want that, and that was totally fine, and we totally understood that. But during 8th grade, she completely disappeared. We have no idea where she went. I personally only received, like, maybe one, maybe two text messages from her, and Angela, she also only received a few handful of text messages from her as well. So at this point, our trio had now been broken down. Now, what this ended up doing was it made me and Angela become extremely close, and we started to hang out all the time. All the time. I would be going over to her house, she'd come over to mine. My parents got to know her very well. I got to know her family very well. I went to some of her, like, church group things. Like, we bonded extremely well. Now, during this time and around, I believe it was 7th grade, if I remember correctly. I could be wrong. Around 7th or 8th grade, I had actually met this new boy. I will tell you about him. He is actually still a good friend to me. But I had met him because he hit me in the head with Frisbee. Another story, another time. Anyway, I met him and we started chatting after I got hit in the head. And I turned out that he had a huge crush on Angela. And I was just like, oh, well, let me check with Angela. I did like this whole little matchmaking. Oh, I'm gonna get you guys set up. And like at one point I like dragged this poor guy over to talk to Angela and I was just like, okay, bye. And then I ran off. You know, that was my form of matchmaking. That's how I work. Anyway, so I end up setting them up and they become like the it couple, you know, the couple that like no one ever thinks is ever gonna break up, right? They are so sweet, so loving on each other. Everyone loves them. They love everyone. And it's just like the ideal-ish looking relationship when you go into middle school or high school, right? So, like I said, me and her are getting closer and closer and closer. But then we start to go into high school. Now, we were going into different paths, but like we were still taking a lot of similar classes and we would still see each other quite often just because we wanted to remain close and wanted to remain and keep that strong bond that we made after Maria left in eighth grade. So, like I said, eighth grade, we just got closer and closer. High school, we still were consistently hanging out in each other's lives. Like, everyone knew that if they were to ask me who's my best friend, I would say Angela. That was just a given to me. Now, like I said, over this point in time, I had really started to completely open up about everything that I mentally was going through, everything that, like, I sometimes had an issue with or, like, any of that. And so, when I did that, I gave her complete and utter confidence because guess what? She was my best friend. I mean, that's who she was to me. And to me, she was like another sister. She also opened up about other stuff as well that were personal to her and like her views on what was going on in her life. And so we really did bond rather well. And we really knew a lot in and out of each other's lives, right? So high school, like I said, we're still hanging out all the time and we are very, very, very good friends. And whenever I want to go hang out with someone, it's generally her. But around, I want to say 11th grade is when I started to be a little more, okay, I know what I want to do. I kind of see how I want to take my life plan because, you know, at 11th grade, everyone's starting to think about college. Everyone's starting to think about the greater picture. It's no longer, oh, I just want to get through the day in high school, you know. It's, oh, I want to, like, actually, you know, be there. I want to, like, make a life plan. So I started to really think of my life plan, right? And at this point, I had had a whole life plan set up and like I said, Angela was extremely, extremely talented and smart. And to this day, I still do admire her drive and I admire her smarts. I admire how much she studies and how she studies. And just, I admire her so much. She was, I think she was the valedictorian in our school, so like extremely smart. She had already figured out that she wanted to go to the school called UNC, University of Northern Colorado, I believe. And so she was just like, I'm gonna go there for their interior design program because she was always very interested in design. And she was just like, that's what I'm going to do, and that's how I'm going to get in. And then she got a scholarship of some sort, but that was her plan. My plan was to take a semester off because I wanted to just breathe a little bit, and then I was going to not only, like, take that time off, but then I was going to go and after that semester, I was going to go into school, community college, because I knew that my SAT scores and ACT scores weren't the best. But I was just like, no, I'm going to make it work. I'm going to fix up my grades, and then I'm going to transfer into a bigger university later, and then I will eventually go to school to be a teacher. That was my plan. And so after high school, we start to slowly drift apart. Now, I do hold a lot of responsibility on this, because if anyone knows me in my personal life, I am the worst texter. I will get into that later on as for why I am, but I am the worst texter. I always call. I prefer to call. It's just, it, to me, written language is so hard, and texting is so hard. So generally, I would just be like, okay, well, I'll call you eventually. And I, at the time, was working full-time, and then I was also going to school full-time. So my social life really consisted of maybe every once in a while hanging out with my friends, but for the most part, I would, like, go to school, go to work, crash at the guys that I was seeing at's place, then go back, or, like, something along those lines. It was very, very, very monotonous. Go to school, go to work. That was it. That was my life. So after that point, up to that point, I was really ignoring a lot of my personal relationships. And to me, I thought that that was just how it had to be for the time being. And I thought that Angela was also extremely busy at school as well, so I was just like, well, if I don't hang out with her, I don't know if she'll mind, because, I mean, she's at a huge university, she's making all these friends, she probably doesn't even have time for me, like, I don't want to be a bother on her, I know she's always stressed about school, I'm stressed about school, so my want to communicate was very much diminished by my logical thoughts going like, well, she's probably just not wanting to hear from me or talk to me, so I'm just not going to interrupt what she's doing. This is a problem of mine, and I do understand that I need to not just, like, assume people don't want to hang out or that, but I digress. That was on me not communicating with her more. Now, we still were in communication. We still did talk quite often. Not as often as we used to, though. However, me and her longtime boyfriend, you remember the guy that hit me in the head with a frisbee? Yeah. We're going to call him Eric. Eric was just, me and him had actually very much bonded during a certain point in time in 7th grade when it was a bit difficult for me to bond with people. I think I was trying to go through an emo stage at that point, but it didn't really work because I don't know, it just didn't really work. So me and him had really bonded at that time, and, like, after high school, at some point, Eric's the type of guy who will reach out to you, and they will make sure to make a point to try to keep in communication with people. He's very much so that type. So he kept reaching out to me, and eventually I started hanging out with him as well. And eventually, at some point, I also, the guy I was seeing, me and him broke up, so then I started dating his friend. So that's kind of what was going on. So I would be seeing Eric a lot more just because I was dating his friend, and I was just like, well, this is good because then, like, I can see Angela all the time because she goes over quite often to see Eric. Keep in mind that Eric and Angela went to different colleges, right? So it was quite difficult for them to make time for each other, but they made time, and I was just like, this is awesome, I'm killing two birds with one stone. I'm dating Eric's roommate, and then I can also see Angela, and this will be amazing. We love this. Let's do it. Keep in mind, I still wasn't really keeping up to my obligation as trying to hang out with her as a friend, and I do own that. That is very much so my fault. I should have been reaching out to her more. No. I start to have issues with this guy, and it's issues of, so I know a lot of you may know already, but some of you don't. I only date Asian guys. It's my preference. I have tried all different types of the spectrum, but that's just the kind of guy that seems to really resonate with me specifically. Again, I have tried a whole array, but that's just my preference. You can be disgusted by it, that's totally fine, but that's just what I like. So this guy was an example of me trying not to only date that specific type. He was Caucasian as well. He was very sweet, but he, for me, was extremely clingy. Now, at some point, I told him I'm not that clingy of a person. Like, I will want to be, like, all over you at times, but at other times, I don't want to be anywhere near you. I need my space. I need my time. I need you to not be around. It's not because I don't care about you. It's just, that's just who I am. He got upset, and instead of going to me, he went to Angela. Now, my problem wasn't with Angela because, I mean, Angela had been in my life for so long. We grew up together. Like, of course, he would want to go to a source that was close to me. And if I were to go to anyone outside of us, I would probably go to her for me as well. I'm not going to lie. Now, having said that, I looked at him dead in the face. And after hearing from Angela that he had a problem, I went over to him and I asked him about his problem. And then I told him after we solved the issue or came to a resolution that made both of us happy, I was just like, okay, now I need you to not ever go to anyone else about our problems. It is just me and you in this relationship, but I need you to keep in mind, like, my needs are, I don't need to be around as much. I don't need to be texting as much. That's just not who I am. I will be reaching out to you more, but I do not want to hear. I would prefer not to hear about our relationship issues from an outside source. That was my problem. I wanted to hear it straight from him. For me, as long as I know what's going on and I know that it's a problem that I need to work on, I would prefer to know from that point rather than hear from an outside source. Now, at this point, me and Angela had actually already been talking because I had almost been done with my associate's degree and I was looking at finishing out in, like, maybe like two more semesters. I was then gonna be done with my associates and then I was going to be able to transfer into a more prestigious university. Now, the university I wanted to get into was a direct transfer. I made sure of that into University of Northern Colorado. So I was looking at maybe getting an apartment out there, and then I remembered Angela was out there and I was just like, okay, well, maybe she would have a recommendation. We came to the conclusion that maybe we should just move in together. I mean, she had not so great roommates before and she was venting to me about them and I was just like, well, I mean, we could be we're best friends and like we know each other's habits and stuff, so how about we become roommates? And we all were on board. We looked for apartments, and I told her very straight up, I was just like, I'm sorry, but I don't know how much I'm gonna be able to be in this planning. I would like to be very into it, but I need a lot of like, I need a lot of notice just because I do have full-time work. I do have full-time school. I won't really be able to be in the apartment looking, touring as much as I'd like to, but I trust your judgment and I will give you money for a deposit. If you have any places you want me to look at, I will send me a list, send me a link, and I will look at it as soon as I have the time to. So that was also going on as well. We eventually did decide on an apartment. She found one and she was just like, I just need the deposit and the first month and last month of the rent. And I was just like, okay, that's fine. So that's kind of where me and them are at. Now, at this point, around that time, I decided, okay, I just need a break. I want to go on a trip. I want to be by myself. I want to go explore. I haven't really been outside of Colorado except for maybe one time when I went to Seattle with my mom. And I had the best time. I want to go explore there for myself because that seems like it would be a fun place to maybe like go on a solo trip. I have family out there. Worst comes to worst, I just hang out with them the whole time. Like, let's just try it. I plan a trip to go out. Now, I was starting to get very excited about this trip, and I started to be like, oh my goodness, I'm so excited. I go on the trip, I come back, I had the most amazing time. I'm so happy, and I think I should have prefaced this before, but me and the guy I was seeing, we were very much like not on good terms, and I actually told him I think I need a break from this relationship, right? So that was going on just because purely I had found out again. And this wasn't only once, it was several times that he had went to Angela for problems that me and him were having. And I was just like, okay, I just need a break. Let's go on like a break or something for this. Like, I can't. And he was just like, okay, whatever you need, that's fine. I get back and I'm so happy, I'm so excited, and then I'm starting to think about even longer term, right? I'm just like, maybe I should think about moving out here. Maybe this is something I want to do. And in my head, I had already kind of been ready to start thinking about the whole, like, okay, yeah, things with the guy are completely done, but, like, I still want to check in with Angela to see how everything's going with the apartment and if we're all still set to go. Now, I had been gushing to her more so, Angela and Eric about Seattle more so than anyone. How happy I was there, how exciting it was, and how maybe I should just transition over there after I finished college. So one day, I end up leaving my house to go, I believe I was at work at the time. I'm at work. Now, I can't specifically say what all happens. I can only go based off of what my sister had told me, and I might have a part two for this, including her recollection of the events that happened, and I might also ask my mom to hop on as well. But from what I was told, Angela And what do we want to call the guy I was seeing? We're going to call him Nathan. Angela and Nathan come over to my house. They knock on my door. And of course, my mom has already met both of them. My mom, I legit spill everything to. Like, any tea that I have, any inconvenience I have, anything like that, I generally would go to her first. She was my sounding board. That my mom is my best friend. Like, that is just how it was. So, she, of course, like I said, had met Angela way beforehand because we went to middle school together. I would invite her to every single party we threw, sleepovers, you name it, she was there. Now, she had met Nathan, and she was rather surprised because, like I said, at this point, I had started to really mainly look at Asian guys. Yes, part of it was because of K-pop. I did get into it very early on, but that wasn't the main reason why I only date Asian guys, but I digress. She had met him. She had met Nathan, and she was rather surprised, but she saw that he was very doting on me, and she wanted to be supportive, and she knew that I wouldn't really listen to her, even if she told me all of the red flags. So she was also very knowledgeable about Nathan because he had been over a few times as well. Now, they knock on my family's door, and they're just like, "Hi, is Christina here?" And then they said, then my mom, she was the one to answer the door, and she was just like, "No, she's not here. Do you want me to leave something with her? Like, do you need me to tell her something? Like, what would you like me to say?" Angela then goes, "No, we actually think this is better this way. Can we come in and talk to you?" My mom says, "Sure." They all sit down at my kitchen table. They all get comfortable. I think my mom offered them some water from what I understand, because that's just what my mom is. But they all sit down and get comfortable. Now, from what I was told from both my mom and my sister, we're going to start off with Nathan and what he said. Or no. From what I was told, they ended up going on a rant all about me, all about what a terrible person I was, all about all of my dirty laundry that I had told them, all about different things that they didn't exactly approve of that I was doing, and just went on a rant. Now, we're going to start off with what Nathan said. Nathan was extremely annoyed that I wasn't fully committed to the relationship. He felt like I wasn't in the relationship at all at this point. Which, to be fair, I wasn't. I was ready to leave. And he was just like, "I just want to see her more often. I want to hang out with her a lot, like, I really care about her, and, but, like, it's annoying that I feel like I'm putting in all of the effort, and, like, it feels like she's pushing me away." To be fair, he's not exactly wrong, but I digress. Then, we move on to Angela. Angela then started to spill all of this stuff, all of the things that I had told her in confidentiality, all of the things that how I had had certain grievances and how me and her had started to not hang out at all she didn't really feel like I was a close best friend to her or really even a friend to her at that point. And then she started to say how she really didn't want to be living with me, and that she didn't really see me as being part of her life anymore. Now, keep in mind, I had already given her the deposit check, and I had already given all of this trust, and I was ready to move in. I put in my job transfer and all of that, and I was very set. And the last time me and her had spoke, she seemed very happy about moving in together. Angela then tried to give my mom my deposit and my first month's rent back. Now, my mom is a very sweet, loving, kind soul. She really does open up to everyone, and everyone opens up to her. She just has that soul of being very open and friendly and just amazing overall. But something that I didn't digress, and my dad, he comes off a bit more strong, silent. He can look rather aggressive and scary at times. Not that he tries, it's just kind of how sometimes he can come off. Which is why I'm assuming that Angela and Nathan came over to talk to them, because my dad wouldn't be there. He would be at work. And of course they would want to go to the kinder, sweeter, always offering cookies person in my family, right? Now, they had not known that I was as close with my mom as I am. They did not know that anything I had talked to them about, I had already gone over 4 times with my mother. They did not know how my mom is like a mama bear when one of us gets hurt. I had seen that side of her. None of my friends had, because when it came to me, most of the time, I was actually pretty self-sufficient. But every once in a while, when there was something that was not right, she would speak up about it, and she would not be quiet, and she would make sure things were taken care of. This time was no different. Now, like I said, they had done all this rant to my mom, and she was just like, okay, okay. She sat there very nice and quietly, patiently waiting. And then she was just like, okay, is there anything else you would like to say? Both of them shook their head no. And apparently, my mom got so scary and mad that my sister actually had to leave the room. We are, in my family, we do not piss off mom. That is just an unspoken rule. We don't. Mom is the saintly angel, and if we make her mad, you know what, hell is looking very nice right now, all right, if we piss her off. That's the type of mom we have when she gets mad. Otherwise, she's, like I said, she would bake cookies all the time. She would be feeding all the time. Shoot, I had someone over just recently, and there she was just like, oh my gosh, let me make you food. You need more food. Here's food. Like, she's that type of person, right? They had never seen this side of her. Now, like I said, my sister actually felt scared enough to leave the room and go into a completely separate room. My mom got so mad, she doesn't remember most of what she said, but she remembers the synopsis. Apparently, after they finished their piece, she looked at them and she was just like, okay, it's my turn now. No, they hadn't seen this side of her. she looks at Nathan dead in the eye. And she's just like, you know, I don't know why she's dating you. I really don't. I think you wore her down. And she asked you for space. She asked you to meet certain needs, and she was trying her best to figure out how to meet your needs without feeling exhausted, because you know she's going to school full-time, yes? You know she's going to work full-time, yes? And you know that she doesn't really text a lot. She doesn't even text me a lot. Yes? So I'm struggling to figure out where you have an edge here, because she did speak to you about these things, as she has spoken to me. Now, we're just going to look past that point right now, because like I said, there's something that you cannot change. Nathan asks her what, and she's just like, you cannot change that you are not Asian. Everyone who knows her knows that she has a very big preference on dating Asian men, and that is not you. And on top of that, she also spoke to you before about how she didn't want you going to other people with your guys' problems. Now, not only are you doing that, but you're also doing that to me, and you're doing that with her supposed best friends. Honey, I don't know why she's with you, but I honestly don't know if you're gonna be her in her life anymore. After this conversation. She then turns over to Angela. She sheds her a complete new one, because like I said, I had aired everything to her. My mom is my best friend. That is who I always went to for forever, because I just felt so comfortable and safe around her, because I knew I could trust my mom. I knew she had my best interests at heart. I knew that, and I still know that to this day. But I don't think that Angela knew that. And knew how close I was with my mom. Now, like I said, she ripped her a new one. And she really does not remember this one. But I know that my sister was scared to death over in the other room. And what ended up happening was, her synopsis of what my sister's synopsis, my mom just barely remembers, my sister's synopsis is that my mom was extremely disappointed in what she was trying to do, trying to give the money back, extremely disappointed that she couldn't have talked to me about any of these grievances, completely bewildered that this is the type of person she chose to be, because she had every reason to discuss this with me, but she had chosen to come into my family's home and talk trash about me to my mom. That she didn't even know that my mom knew pretty much everything I had already told her. And so she looked at her and she was just like, I am so disappointed and I am so sad for you, because this is not who I thought you were. I was so happy that you were her best friend, and I thought you were such an amazing human being. But now I'm seeing that I think my daughter should be not close to you anymore. And I'm glad that you're not going to be in her life soon. And then she looked at the money that Angela had slid over to my mom for her to accept. and for my mom to tell me how I wasn't moving in anymore. Slid it back to Angela, and she was just like, if you want to break my daughter's heart, that's on you. I am not going to show her the type of person you are. That is your job. So if you want to do this, tell her. She then finishes up with a simple, and she remembers this verbatim. She looks over at the door, she points to it, and she's just like, there's the door. Use it. Apparently, Angela and Nathan left very distraught, had to stay in the car for a while. My sister saw this whole thing. My mom was too upset to really care. Now, when I came back from work that day, I had went over to my mom and I showed her how exhausted I was, but I knew I had some homework I had to get done, and I was just like, okay, hi, mom, how's... And she was just like, Christina, I really think you need to talk to Angela. I think this is very important. Okay, sure. Everything good? And she was just like, no, you need to talk to Angela. And then she, as I was walking over to the stairs, she was just like, and I don't think you should see Nathan anymore. And I was just like, no, I was planning on breaking up with him anyway. And she was just like, oh, good. I text Nathan so I can try to meet up with him. And then I text Angela. She sends me this long text. Or no, she didn't send me a long text. No, she sent me a very short text. Saying how we weren't friends anymore. And that I could pick up my stuff within a few hours. I start blasting her with questions, very curious, heartbroken. Because this is a girl that I had thought I could trust utterly and completely, and now she didn't want to be my friend anymore. I didn't know about her coming into my home at all. So, I end up going downstairs, crying to my mom about the whole situation. She still didn't tell me about this encounter she had. I go into my room for a while. And cry my heart out. Grab all of her things that I had, and I run over to her family's house because her family's house is close to mine. I go over and I grab my stuff. Angela tries to apologize at some point, and I'm just like, no, you do not want to be my best friend anymore. And that's your decision. It doesn't sound like you want to even talk a little bit about it to me. And she was just like, well, I wrote you a letter. And I was just like, so how you're going to end our friendship? Is there a letter and a text message? You're not even going to discuss it with me. I don't think that's best. Okay. Can I have my things? Grab my things, give her hers. And That was the end of it. I believe a few days later I met up with Brian, or I gave him a call and we talked about how it wasn't working out. I believe a few days later I ended up calling Nathan and I told him that things weren't working out, and we ended up meeting and I ended things. It took me 6 months in order to read that letter. Now, for her sake, I'm never going to disclose what was in that letter, because I don't think that is kind. But after reading that letter, I ended up having a long phone call with my mom, and she discussed everything that happened that day. That I was not there. That I was trash talked. By Angela, the girl that I thought was my best friend. Now, I want to preface this with, I don't wish her any ill will, and I never will. We did try to reconnect, but for my end, it was just, what had happened was irreversible. Another thing that I think I also needed to preface with this is during one point, before I left for Seattle, her and Eric had broken up, and I told him very upfront, while I did care for him as a friend, I would always be on the side of her, because she was my best friend. Angela was my best friend, and I always had to side with her, no matter what happened. And one of the things that had happened in the relationship was just not okay on my end either, so that's also a good reason why I sided with her. And like I said, she was my best friend, and I had told her that very early on, and right after they had broken up, I told her that I was on her side, and if she needed anything, I would be there for her. And that her and my relationship meant so much more to me than me and Eric's. Because while I did love and respect him as a brother, I still cared more about me and her friendship because me and her had been in each other's lives for so long, and I thought of her like a sister. I think that was the turning point when everything started to go south. I think there was many ways that it started to like be a lot more strenuous on that relationship. But I think that point, something really broke in that relationship. So, yeah. I don't know if there's a real... moral to this story time. I just know I have a problem being open and vulnerable about certain things. And I know that if I want to live the life that I want to live, I can't be repeating the things I was doing previously. And this includes being closed off about things I'm still mentally working through. Maybe not all the things I'll open up about right away. This, it's been years, years since I have really had anything to do with this relationship. I still do keep in contact with Eric. Maybe at one point I'll have him come on as well, but I do still keep in contact with him. But after that, it has been really hard for me to be open and friendly with new people and really build any type of friendship due to the fact that I'm still very much struggling with the question of what if. What if they do the same thing to me? Now, I know that that was a different situation, and I know that that was a different time. But I know that it also still weighs heavily on my subconscious. So, and I, as much as I do get worked up about it, I know I've healed quite a bit from it, and I've learned quite a bit about myself. But that being said, I do wish Angela nothing but the best. I don't know what she's up to nowadays. I think that's for the best. I think that friendship ended its course the way it needed to. Maybe I would have liked it in a different way, but I do not know if us being in each other's lives would have helped. Past that point, that did give me a lot more motivation to go out and do what I wanted, and I hope that she found her peace, and I hope she's found herself and is happy with her life now. I do, and I will have always have a spot in my heart for her. But I really do wish her nothing but the best. Anyway, that was this week's story time. I hope this gave you a little more insight on who I am as a person. And I hope that... I guess I just hope that you don't feel alone. Losing friendships is hard. I think I remember somewhere it said losing a friendship is 1,000 times harder than losing a relationship.